You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. Joining us over Skype, we've got Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how you doing? How's your fantasy season-long league end up here?
Pretty good, John. I'm proud to say I did take home some hardware in my one league, and I've got another that will extend to week 17 for the championship, which I'll be a part of. So feeling good about that. What about you?
I am officially the Buffalo Bills of my Mizzou alumni league. I have lost the title game now 3 years in a row. Despite having Kirk Cousins this week, the rest of my lineup decided to not bother. Whatever. It's week 16. Whatever. It's fine. Just happy to be there, honestly.
Can you be the Buffalo Bills of fantasy and have a chance to play spoiler in week 17, or are we done?
No, we are done. That is it. So I'm now scouring the waiver wire to pick up some keepers. It's a keeper league, so I'm now just looking at the waiver wire to see if anybody's out there. But you are not tuning into this podcast to listen to me, complain about my season-long league. You are here to get some fantasy information and hopefully help you out if you're playing DFS in week 17, which is normally a wild week. I think we all remember Matt Flynn from the Packers throwing 6 touchdown passes a few years ago, and he's still in the league because of that, Arthur.
I think so, yeah. He's backing up somewhere.
Yeah,
amazing what one game can do to your longevity in this league.
Exactly, yeah. And we'll get you ready for week 17 here in fantasy football if you have managed to make it to your title game and you play week 17. But we're going to start with the news that broke last Wednesday. Lisa Madigan, Attorney General of Illinois, issued an opinion on daily fantasy sports in Illinois, basically saying they are illegal gambling. This is from the Associated Press article you can find on ChicagoFootball.com. The law, quote, clearly declares that all games of chance or skill when played for money are illegal gambling in Illinois, said Madigan. Her decree follows decisions in New York and Nevada to really make life difficult for the DFS operating sites. Democratic Rep. Mike Zalewski of Riverside, who we are trying to get on the podcast. We are in the process of scheduling that. Our schedules are not matching up entirely. But we hope to have him on pretty soon to talk about his fantasy contest bill. He's pushing legislation in the Illinois General Assembly to legalize and regulate the contest. He does disagree that DFS involves gambling, but in a statement, he said the ruling provides, quote, more clarity. He said in a statement that the ruling provides more clarity and regulations, quote, to allow Illinoisans to continue to play these contests and provide the necessary strong consumer protections for safe, fun play, unquote. His proposal would require players to be at least 18 and allow sites to review players for child support or tax debts. It also goes on with a couple of further protections for players. Democratic Rep. Scott Drury of Highwood and LG Sims of Chicago asked Lisa Madigan for their opinion. Drury said that not only do taxpayers need to know whether the contests were legal, but the lawmakers themselves need to know what exactly they're attempting to regulate. Zalewski has this bill up in the Illinois General Assembly, but some of these legislators are a little confused. DFS is a very new thing to them, so you're asking them to regulate something, and they don't really know what it is, and maybe some of them don't want to do the research to do it, so they asked Lisa Madigan for her opinion on it. And Drury goes on to say in the Associated Press story, quote, to me, it didn't make sense to consider legislation when we didn't know what the current status of daily fantasy sports is in Illinois. Now that we know, according to the Attorney General, that it's illegal, we're making a serious attempt to address the issue. Now, after that, DraftKings and FanDuel responded, as they have done in other states, specifically New York, which, as we've talked about briefly, they sued Lisa Madigan. DraftKings and FanDuel are still accepting contests. Your account appears to be safe if you have an account there. Here's the latest from this. We're taping this Tuesday afternoon. This is from Tuesday morning from Fortune magazine writer Daniel Roberts. DraftKings has reached an agreement with Lisa Madigan's office on a, quote, expedited court schedule to determine the legality of DFS in Illinois. I have expedited in big, huge air quotes. I know it's a podcast, but these are giant air quotes I'm using because this is what expedited means in the Illinois court system. Lisa Madigan has until January 22nd to respond. If it goes to trial, that trial date is set for June 27th. So much for expedited. In the meantime, Madigan and DraftKings have agreed to not pursue any other action against each other until they see each other in court, basically. So you can still play. It's important to note that Lisa Madigan hasn't filed a complaint. She's issued an opinion. Long term, I think the legislature probably settles this before the courts do. Maybe worst case scenario, DFS is illegal in the state for a few months, but I think this Lewinsky bill is a good bill in my personal opinion. But I think bottom line, the legislature is probably going to settle this. There's a few bumps, it sounds like. And like I said, we were hoping to get Rep. Mike Zalewski on a podcast on in the very near future to discuss the status of the bill and the response that he's gotten from it. So, Arthur, given all that, do you have any takes on what's going on with DFS in Illinois?
Well, I just hope they get it resolved. There's a lot of people that really enjoy playing, and I think there's an opportunity here to make this a win-win for everyone. Us Illinois residents know, what trouble this state is in financially, So I think the obvious route to go here is to legalize it and tax it and give everyone an opportunity to win off of it. The players can continue to play. The state can reap the benefits financially, maybe dig us out of some of the other holes that we're in. And I think it can turn out to be a good situation, kind of turning something bad into something good, because I can't disagree with Lisa Madigan that it's gambling. And she went on to say it's not any different than season-long leagues. I think there's too much luck involved in this to go under kind of, the facade of DraftKings and FanDuel, that it's a game of skill. We all know it's only partially that. So, rather than getting stuck in, kind of the semantics of it, let's just make it a winning proposition for everyone involved.
Yeah, that's what struck me from her original opinion, is that she kind of lumped season long in. So I imagine there might be some upset season long players who don't play DFS and, kind of blame the DraftKings and FanDuel crowd for ruining everything if she's going to rule this on season long leagues. But I agree. I think that the legislature probably settles this here. So with that said, we are going to break down this week's NFL games. We're going to take probably more of a DFS slant on this. I know that there are some of you season-long folks out there, like Arthur, have a Week 17 championship game. If you have a Week 17 championship game in your season-long league, change your league, because that's really dumb. There's no point in having a Week 17 championship game. But that said, we're still going to give you some advice. There's still plenty of good plays out there. This is the last week for fantasy football, unless you're playing DFS in the playoffs. So, Arthur, let's get to it. We're going to break down each game for you. Jets and Buffalo, current over-under is set at 43. The Jets control their own destiny in the playoff race. They're certainly not going to be sitting anybody. I'm playing all of my Jets in your season-long league. Ryan Fitzpatrick, his price on DraftKings is 5,400. I think there's maybe a little narrative street in play going up against his old team in Buffalo. And I really like Bilal Powell this week. He's been getting more carries than Chris Ivory. Arthur, where are you on Jets and Buffalo?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm certainly playing everyone. I know Rex Ryan's going to have some incentive to try and keep his former Jets out of the playoffs, but it's kind of hard to ignore what this Jets offense has done. Obviously, going into Foxborough last week and pulling off the upset in overtime, they found a way to get everyone involved. Eric Decker catches the game winner, but not before Brandon Marshall sets up the touchdown, has himself another big day, and I think the sixth 100 catch season, a new NFL record. So pretty amazing for Brandon Marshall. But yeah, good call on Bilal Powell too. Didn't find the end zone last week, but I believe still ended up with close to double digit points. And as Ivory's gotten more banged up, they've gotten Powell more involved. He's a better pass catcher. So, this Bills defense looks good on paper, but it's been a trouble spot for much of the season, and I don't see any reason to expect the Jets aren't going to be able to kind of finish off what they've gotten accomplished here and go ahead and clinch that playoff berth with another good offensive showing.
Yeah, Bilal Powell, 4,500 on DraftKings this week. That's not a bad matchup. Buffalo's rush defense has really slowed down. Tampa, Carolina, over-under is at 47. Carolina favored by 10.5. Carolina still has home field to play for, so they're not sitting anybody. I think Cam's a great start. Olsen, Cameron Artis Payne. Tampa Bay's rush defense is pretty darn good, so it's not the best matchup, but he's only 4,300 on DraftKings. I don't mind that play. I'm probably off anybody on Tampa, given that they're going up against Carolina's defense. Arthur?
Yeah, I agree. As far as Carolina goes, Fozzie Whitaker already ruled out. So Cameron Artis Payne, if you're kind of feeling, like gambling a little bit, it does seem like he's going to have a decent volume. You just always have to worry about the red zone touches with Cam and Mike Tolbert and Greg Olsen and all those different options down there. As far as Tampa goes, it's interesting. I do agree overall. Obviously, that was a pretty poor offensive showing against the Bears, who had been reeling defensively. But you do have to wonder, even against a really good Carolina run defense, just how Doug Martin's going to come out of the gate. He's not out of this chase for the rushing title yet. He trails Adrian Peterson by 64 yards. But, it's a good Carolina defense at the same time. Doug Martin's $7,600 on FanDuel. So maybe that's one of the things, one of those situations where you go ahead and kick the tires.
Yeah, all right. We'll move on to New England, Miami. Over/unders 47.5. Patriots favored by 9. Arthur, I'm pretty sure Miami has just quit on the season, and the only one really making any noise is Brent Grimes' wife at this point, right?
Yeah, that was a something. I think we have one more person we can count in the not Ryan Tannehill camp, and to hear Dan Campbell really, defuse the situation, but say he wasn't really too concerned about it, to me, is pretty interesting, because that was a Twitter rant, to say the least, and maybe one more respected guy in that locker room who maybe doesn't have the kind of respect for that quarterback they should. Actually, I shouldn't say they should, but you would expect them to.
Yeah, yeah. I'll throw one guy as a kind of a punt play, Keyshawn Martin from the Patriots.
Wow.
Brady's got to throw to somebody. He's got to throw to somebody healthy. So if you're looking for just a total dart throw, he might be the guy.
And James White this week is a reasonable $6,400 on FanDuel. He continues to find the end zone and continues to get consistent workload. So I think you can do worse than maybe firing him up for an RB2 spot.
All right, we will move on to Baltimore at Cincinnati. Over/under is 42.5. I gave a hot take last week on Kamar Aiken. Six catches is what, 64 yards? So not bad. Everyone, it seemed like I was a little ganged up on last week saying that Kamar Aiken wasn't going to do anything. If you were in a PPR league, Kamar Aiken had a heck of a day for you. So I'm just saying that was not a bad pick last week. I'm not playing him this week, though, against Cincinnati secondary. In fact, I think the only guy I'm really maybe on is A.J. Green at 7,500. Baltimore's defense is not good. In a couple words, not good. Where are you at on Baltimore Cincy, Arthur?
Yeah, I think you mentioned really the only guy you'd feel real good about, and that's A.J. Green, but you have to monitor the quarterback situation, because not only did A.J. McCarron fumble that last snap in overtime, he apparently hurt his left wrist, so that's going to be something to monitor moving forward. I don't think you'd feel comfortable with any of those Cincinnati pass catchers if it was the number three option in Cincinnati.
Winning?
Thank you.
All right. So in a previous life, I was a sports writer who covered Northern Illinois football. Keith Wenning played at Ball State. That dude was awful his first couple of years. He actually did turn it around. There's a reason he's on an NFL roster. Did turn it around, but no thank you to Keith Wenning making an NFL start. Not at all. Anything else on this game?
Nah, I don't know. I mean, it was good to see Ryan Mallett show well, but obviously you're not going to be firing him up. And like you said, Kamar Aiken is really the one dependent. Javorius Allen bounced back a little bit, Buck Allen, but that Cincinnati defense is pretty good, and they're going to be angry after the way they kind of folded in the second half against Denver. So, yeah, I'd be steering clear of the Ravens this week, even though they did show very well to upset Pittsburgh.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to a game with plenty of fantasy goodness. New Orleans, Atlanta, the over-under right now is 52.5, so... this is definitely a stackable game in DFS. I'm playing all my guys, and if I'm in a season-long league here. Willie Snead, I want to highlight him. 75 yards in each of his past three games. He's 4,400 on DraftKings. I think that's probably a chalk guy to have in your lineup. Matt Ryan's playing better. I know he's been, just awful from a fantasy perspective this year, but he's only 5,500. Obviously, Julio's a good play no matter what. Freeman, I think, is a great play at 7,600. Maybe Roddy White. I know it's week 17. I don't like playing old, busted guys in week 17, but He might be worth something in this game because I think it's going to shoot out. Arthur, anybody else you want to add in New Orleans, Atlanta here?
Well, you know, Brandon Cooks is obvious, 7,600 on FanDuel, has really turned it on in the second half of the season for New Orleans, and it's just been amazing what Drew Brees has accomplished the past 2 weeks with that torn plantar fascia. It's really spectacular, the play he's put forth. And just getting back to Matt Ryan, it depends how short your memory is. Obviously, he has burned fantasy owners all season long, but finally shows up with a 300-yard game last week, and it's an outside shot, but the NFL records for both catches and yards in a season are at least, you know, it's a pipe dream for Matt and Julio Jones. So we'll see. And that New Orleans defense, if there was any team they were going to be able to do it against, I think you need something ridiculous, like 17 catches and 243 yards or something. But it is Julio and it is that New Orleans defense, so I don't think you can completely rule it out.
Yeah, I think they're great tournament plays. And look, Atlanta doesn't have anything else to play for. They're not in the playoff hunt. So why not try and get Julio a record, right?
Right. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Matt Forte and that trivial receptions record in Week 17 last year against Minnesota. It was the one thing the Bears had to play for, and they were going to be darned if they didn't get it for him.
And man, does Forte hate that record, doesn't he?
I know he does. That's sort of a reminder of what a pitiful season that was for, you know, his 52 teammates anyway.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Jacksonville-Houston, the over-under is at 45. Bill O'Brien says Brian Hoyer, if he is healthy, is going to start. Him and Whedon are both 5,100. Who would have thought Brandon Whedon doing what he's been doing? He looks amazing, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he even had a rushing touchdown last week.
He had a rushing touchdown,
sure.
Yeah. And look, this Jacksonville defense, I mean, it's a good rush defense, but they're a terrible defense through the air. They're bottom 10 in the league.
They've got 50% of the equation solved. If they can go find a defense, maybe they're going to be taken seriously in 2016. But until then, that's going to be a defense you continue to target. Of course, DeAndre Hopkins. You know, I don't know about any of those Houston running backs, but there is a lot left to play for, and certainly O'Brien does commit to the run. So maybe Alfred Blue. I'm not quite sure what his price is on FanDuel. And then Jacksonville. I mean, like I said, the defense stinks, but you're certainly going to roll with all your garbage time heroes, Allen Robinson, Blake Bortles, and company for sure.
Yeah, they've been the king of garbage time. But the running backs on DraftKings: Blue's 3,700, Polk is 3,400. Without really any sort of clear avenue on who's getting the most opportunity, the most touches. I know Polk was starting to steal some from Blue. I'm probably staying away. Nate Washington, though, is only 3,600. And Cecil Shorts is out. So not a lot of the throws are going to go to DeAndre Hopkins, but not all of the throws are going to go to DeAndre Hopkins. So I could see Nate Washington maybe getting 7 or 8 targets for 3,600. That's not a bad price, especially against that Jacksonville D.
Yeah, we don't know who's going to cover him, like you said, and he's got a sneaky 650-yard receiving season, 4 touchdowns. The opportunity should be there. So, yeah, I think he could do a lot worse.
All right, well, we'll move on to the next one. Pittsburgh-Cleveland over-under is 47.5, so that's a healthy total. Pittsburgh is favored by 10. The Steelers need to win to get into the playoffs, so they're going to have everybody going. So, honestly, any Steeler you want is a great price. Antonio Brown is pretty expensive at 9,300, but against that Cleveland secondary, he might be worth it. I like Martavis Bryant in tournaments at 4,300 and Marcus Wheaton at 4,000. Not bad plays. D'Angelo Williams is obviously a good cash game play at 7,100. On the Cleveland side, I kind of like Isaiah Crowell at 3,500, even though Pittsburgh's game flow is probably against it and Pittsburgh has a better rush defense and a better pass defense, but Crowell's averaging more than 5 yards a carry in his past 3 games, so maybe worth a tournament shot at 3,500. Anybody else you like in this game?
No, but I do think Isaiah Crowell is a good call. He's got 2 really good games in his past 3, and the Steelers' offense, I'm not saying it's not spectacular, as it because it obviously is, but very quietly, Roethlisberger has not been that great over the past several games, and who knows, maybe Cleveland can find a way to stick around. If they're going to do it, it's going to be with a healthy dose of Crowell. So, no, I think that could be a sneaky play too.
All right, next game, Oakland-Kansas City, over-under 43.5. Kansas City is in the playoffs and playing for seeding. A win gives them a game against the AFC South champs, which is most likely Houston. There's a low total on this game. It kind of has me shying away from it. I don't love anybody in this game. Kansas City's defense at home is a little too good for me to be excited about Cooper or Crabtree or Murray. They're all meh plays to me. Jeremy Maclin 6,400 on DraftKings. That's a little too pricey for him, maybe. I don't see myself having a lot of exposure to this game. How about you?
No, yeah, it's one I'd be looking to steer clear of, too. But I will say Kansas City still has it's incredible, but they still have an outside shot at the AFC West. That would be something amazing. And Sharkhandrick West is the one name I think that jumps out, 6,800 on FanDuel. That Raiders defense, not very good, obviously, not good against the run. So I know they've shown signs of life, but I think West is maybe the one guy I'd feel pretty solid playing in this matchup.
Yeah, we'll move on then. Tennessee, Indianapolis. There's no over-under yet as of Tuesday afternoon, but the Colts are six-point favorites. I like the Indianapolis defense in this game because Zach Mettenberger is just – he's not an NFL quarterback. I just don't see it, and he doesn't really have much of a running game, and his receivers, you know, Green Beckham's good, but he's still raw. Kendall Wright's hurt. You know, Delanie Walker's just pretty good, but you know, everybody knows that's basically the only target at this point. I'm not really on anybody from this game. What about you?
No, you know, Dante Moncrief found a way to be productive last week, but like you said, there's so much uncertainty under center. What's going to be going on there? No one really knows. You know, Frank Gore did have himself a really nice game, so maybe Gore at a reasonable 6,600 on FanDuel, looking to show he's still got something left in the tank. Had a spectacular touchdown run among his two scoring runs last week. So the Colts defense, that might be a little bit too big of a leap of faith for me. I know they had a nice week, held the Dolphins to 12 points last week, but I have a hard time imagining them being able to sustain that success.
Yeah, we'll move on to the next game. Washington, Dallas, no over under yet. Dallas 3-point favorites. This is the one game where don't really play your Washington guys, and I'm avoiding them in DFS too. Jay Gruden has basically said that he's resting guys this week, so you're not going to see much Jordan Reed. You're probably not going to see DeSean Jackson. At that point, you probably won't see much, if any, of Kirk Cousins. To me, this has like 17-14 written all over it, so I could maybe get behind one of the defenses, especially if Kellen Moore's going to go out there for Dallas. He's good, I think, for an interception, but this is a nah game for me.
Nope, me neither. Yep. Not going to see us playing it.
All right, let's move on to a game we know a little bit more about. Lions and Bears, over under 45. Bears are 1-point favorites. This game went into OT last time. I don't mind Forte. I don't mind Langford. Stafford was huge against the Bears last time. I think Zach Miller's a good bet to get some targets with Alshon out. Eric Ebron has 5 targets in each of his past 3 games, and I don't really know who covers him on the Bears defense. So, Arthur, Bears Detroit from a fantasy standpoint, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, plenty of Lions, and it's weird. I'm kind of contradicting myself because somehow I picked the Bears to win this game. I don't know how it's going to happen, but nonetheless, you just look at, like you said, Matt Stafford over 400 yards passing back in that Week 6 overtime win for Detroit. Calvin Johnson had a huge 160-plus yard game, much of it coming in overtime. Golden Tate has been fairly steady for them. Amir Abdullah has emerged as the main man in that backfield, so it depends on whether you think the Chicago run defense can stack solid performances. They held Doug Martin back last week, so feeling pretty good about a lot of those Lions plays offensively. The Bears, not so much. I think Zach Miller's a good call. We'll wait and see. If Alshon did go, certainly you'd want to fire him up. He was huge in that first game for the Bears, but it is a lot of uncertainty. You'd have to think maybe they're going to hold back on Alshon, given this game means absolutely nothing at this point.
Yeah, Abdullah, I think, is a good tournament play at 3,700. Ebron's only 3,000 on DraftKings. Golden Tate's 5,700. Those are all pretty reasonable prices for an offense that probably will be able to move the ball again. Let's move on to another game that has plenty of fantasy goodness. Philadelphia and the New York Giants, over under a 52. Giants are 3-point favorites. I have one note on here. Sam Bradford, 360 yards at least in the past 2 games, and the New York Giants secondary, still one of the worst in the league. Bradford, only 5,300 on DraftKings, and I would pair him with Zach Ertz at 3,600. What are your thoughts on Eli and Odell in this game, Arthur?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be all over it. Eli Manning, 7,500 on FanDuel. That, to me, is a huge opportunity. Obviously, he was lost without his guy last week, but Odell back, and you'd have to imagine he's going to be motivated to end the season on a high note after really embarrassing both himself and his organization last week. $8,900 on FanDuel for Odell, the number four priced wide receiver. So you're going to pay up for it, obviously, but he's got a chance to finish as the wide receiver one for the week. And we know what this Eagles secondary is. It's not any good. So I don't see any reason why you couldn't really stack those guys and see if they could win a week for you.
Yeah, and I think it's not a bad tournament play to double stack. Reuben Randall's only 3,600. So combined, 12,600 for those two wide receivers. You know, that's not a terrible average. And Philadelphia's defense, we've seen it time and time again this season, just get shredded by good passing attacks, and this is a good passing attack in a high over-under game. So something to consider. Will Tye also 4,000. It's getting up there for him, and he's touchdown dependent, but he can find the end zone against this Philly defense, I think.
And just to follow up what you said on the Eagles side, yeah, I like Will Tye. Stony Brook in the end zone. We've talked about how much fun that is to hear on primetime. But I think that's an astute point by you with Sam Bradford. People forget he is playing for a contract. So he's auditioning for 31 teams. And you have seen the production certainly spike. I think you've seen him be a more consistent player down the stretch. I know he had a couple picks a few weeks ago, but a big fantasy asset down the stretch. And Jordan Matthews has turned it on too. So I'm not sure where he's priced here. It looks like on FanDuel, Jordan Matthews, he's somewhere reasonable. He's not going to be in the top 15. So that Giants secondary, also no good. Maybe an opportunity there with him as well.
Yeah, Jordan Matthews is only 4,700 on DraftKings. If he's sub-5 with the way Bradford's been throwing the ball, I think that's a fire-him-up cash game and tournament this week.
Absolutely.
Let's move on. San Diego, Denver, over-under is 41. Arthur, I have one note for this game, and it is nah.
I don't disagree, but I'm still kind of impressed with what I saw Monday night from Brock Osweiler. So
he looked good. He threw some darts.
Yeah, he really did. I thought he was impressive. Obviously, his numbers weren't bad in the first half, but it was the way he came on and helping them erase that 17-point deficit. So, overall, like you said, the low point total, it's not a game you're going to necessarily gravitate towards. But, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders have been not necessarily consistent, but they have been productive. So, you could at least take a look and see where their price is. Well,
yeah, and look, if you're throwing out 20 tournament lineups, there's some Denver guys that are interesting just basically on price. Emmanuel Sanders is only 5,800. Demaryius, I know he's been incredibly disappointing, but he's only 6,700. So, if you're throwing out 20 lineups, there's some Denver guys that you can throw out there in a tournament, I think, but staying away from them in cash games. St. Louis, San Francisco, over under 37.5. Arthur, I don't know if I've seen a total that low this season. So, my one note is the repeat of San Diego, Denver. No, I'm off everybody in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. That'll be one to look past and try and find options elsewhere.
Works for me. Let's move to the next one. Seattle, Arizona, over under 47.5. So that's a lot healthier. Seattle in playing for seeding. Arizona will know before kickoff if they are playing for home field. So that's something to watch. I don't think Bruce Arians is going to ease off the gas pedal, but just the fact that may be out there, that they're going to know, most likely before kickoff, whether or not that game actually means anything to them. I'm a little Arizona is basically tournament only in DFS, and in season long, if you've got better options, there might be a little more certainty there. And, they're going up against Seattle's defense. This is not like, they're going up against Green Bay's defense, which was not so great last week.
Yeah, and still fresh in Arians' head, obviously, was Tyrann Mathieu suffering the season-ending injury really late in a blowout game. So you wonder if that will kind of play into the way he approaches this one if Arizona does lock up home field. So keep an eye on it, I guess, if you're in a position to go down into the wire, because it is intriguing. I think Palmer had over 350 passing yards in the first meeting against Seattle. Arizona has had the Seahawks number and are playing at home for a third straight week. So all those things certainly worth taking into consideration. And then with Seattle, obviously, they need to bounce back after a really disappointing loss and a bit of a fall off after Russell Wilson's historic run.
Yeah, and Doug Baldwin is 6,700 on DraftKings. I believe that's the same price as Demaryius Thomas. So who would have thought that at the beginning of the season? But
he found the end zone again, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I'm, you know what?
My
one
God.
One of these days, we're going to be right when we say Doug Baldwin isn't scoring a touchdown. I think it might be this week against Arizona. But I'm not playing him at 6,700. It's too expensive against that defense.
He has a touchdown now in 6 of the last 7 games and multiple touchdowns in 4 of those games. It's just absolutely absurd. He's up to 14 on the season, and 12 of them have come over that just absolutely ridiculous, horrid pace.
Doug Baldwin, fantasy goat. Who would have thought?
Man.
Yeah. All right, last game, that's the Sunday nighter. Vikings.
I'll tell you who would have thought it. Doug Baldwin would have thought it.
him and Doug Baldwin's mom, and that's it.
Exactly.
All right, let's move on to the final game of the Sunday slate. Vikings, Packers, over under 46.5. Packers are 3-point favorites. Arthur, what's your confidence level in the Packers offense after that meltdown in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, it's non-existent. This is. I went back and forth on this. I have to make my first round of picks for these games on Sunday night, so not an easy proposition. But yeah, I have zero confidence in the Green Bay offense unless Aaron Rodgers is going to throw to himself, block for himself, run for himself, and that's kind of giving him too much credit because he hasn't been very good. So yeah, not a lot of confidence. They are playing at home, obviously, but I'm going to mostly steer clear of the Green Bay options, and certainly Adrian Peterson will be interesting. Let's see what his price is. The Packers are allowing over 5 yards per carry over the past month of the season. Peterson finally went back over 100 yards, and he's trying to not only lock up the playoffs, but his third rushing title. So 8,300 on FanDuel. If you felt like spending up at the position, I know that the workload is going to be there for AP, but not a lot of other options jump out at me from this game.
Yeah, he's 7,200 on DraftKings. I think he's both cash game and tournament playable. He's going to be, I think, pretty chalky, especially when people saw what happened in Green Bay on a nationally televised game last week, and it's Adrian Peterson, so why not? I'm not on Teddy Bridgewater or anybody like that. I'm not on the Minnesota passing game. Randall Cobb is a tournament option for 6,000. You know, I know Minnesota's secondary is good, but you know Green Bay is going to have to move the ball somehow, and I don't think it's going to be with Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out to be a Jared Aberderis or a Jeff Janis, someone you're not even going to consider playing if that Green Bay offense is to ignite a little bit. But yeah, I think it's probably going to be cold. I think it's probably going to be ground-based. So probably not a game you're running to play, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, I agree. All right, that will do it for the podcast. We want to thank you so much for listening to us during the season. We will be having some podcasts throughout the off season. We're going to try and get some DFS players on here. We're going to try and get Rep Mike Zalewski to talk about what's going on in the legislature. So please stay with us, and we will have plenty of podcasts for you to get you through to next season. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at ChicagoFootball.com from our fantasy experts. Podcast is available in iTunes. If you've not done so already, please head over and subscribe and never miss an episode. If you want to write a review, that would be nice of you too. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. The Silverado is ready when you are. Get a head start on the new year with special offers and check out all these Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to our guest on today's show, Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. I'm John Solly. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, we hope you have a happy new year and a great week of fantasy football.